everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Russ Horn. Russ found a passion for technology at an early age, programming and playing on a Commodore 64. Russ earned his BA in mathematics, an MS degree in management information systems, and has achieved the CISA, the CISSP, and the CRSC designations. He has 20 years of professional technical and information security experience in the banking industry. He has performed IT audits, conducted security consulting, taught technology courses at university level, spoken at more than 100 conferences, and published multiple cybersecurity articles. In addition, Rust helped develop and launch Tandem, a governance, risk, and compliance software used by more than 1,600 financial institutions across the nation. He serves as the president of Conetrics, a full-service information technology and cybersecurity firm. Along with his interest in banking technology and cybersecurity, Russ is a husband, father, grandfather, and runner. Welcome, Russ. We're so glad to have you here. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Lindsay. It's great to be here.
And okay, so I do have one question. When you say runner, like what level are we talking about? What's your vibe?
Well, long running, so marathons. My longest was a 50-mile race, which I think was a mistake. We started it in the dark and it was raining, and we finished in the dark and it was raining, but it was an adventure.
Wow. My brother does marathons. He ran in Boston last year. He's running the Chicago Marathon this year and Boston again. I think you qualify in Chicago is what I think he's doing.
So if he's qualified for Boston, he's like a real runner. I'm an amateur runner. I'm not fast enough to qualify for Boston.
If you're running 50 miles, that's insane. That's awesome, though. But I'm asking just because I run not that far, but it is one of the things that keeps me sane.
So a funny quick story. I just became a grandfather just about 3 months ago. But
congratulations.
Thank you. So I guess 9 or 10 months ago, I was supposed to run a half marathon with my middle daughter. It was going to be our first half marathon. But I broke my leg right before and I didn't get to run. So she had to run it by herself, but she wasn't really alone. At the time, she didn't know it, but she was pregnant with her daughter and my granddaughter. So now I can say that my granddaughter has already run a half marathon. She's gifted and talented.
That's awesome. You've obviously taken on the role of grandfather very well. Yes. You sound just like my dad with my kids.
Yes.
That's too good. Well, okay. So at Banking Matters, we always like to start and ask our guests how they got their start in the financial services industry.
Well, for me, it was about 20 years ago. So before that, I was working in technology. I was actually a network administrator for a larger regional supermarket, and I was there about 5 years. And a friend of mine, who is also a friend of Marvin Krosno, who was the founder of Conetrics and the CEO, he reached out to both of us and said, "Hey, you guys need to meet." And he told Marvin, "You need to hire Russ." And he told me, "You need to go work for Marvin." And so we got together, and after talking for a few months, I went to work for him. And that was not too long after GLBA came out. And GLBA changed the, cybersecurity, information security arena for banks, requiring banks to have an information security program. That's when banks started doing more IT audits. Of course, technology was taking off at that time also. And so our company was starting a cybersecurity division, and it was being led by a guy named Neil Baldridge. He's known pretty well through the banking industry. And so I went to work for him doing IT audits. And that was about 20 years ago. And since then, I've worked in a lot of different areas in technology for banks.
That's awesome. So today we're here to pick your brain about the FFIEC Cybersecurity Assessment Tool, or CAT, I believe, as it's best known. So can you tell us what the FFIEC's CAT is?
Sure. Yeah. So in 2015, and this was due to an increase in both volume and sophistication of cyber threats around the nation, but also really targeted at that time to financial institutions, to banks. because that's where the money is, right? The FFIC saw that there was a need for more cyber maturity in the industry. And so they developed the CAT. That's what we affectionately call the FFIC Cybersecurity Assessment Tool, the CAT. And it was to help financial institutions to both identify their cyber risks and determine their cyber maturity. They wanted a tool that banks could use to improve the industry as a whole, but also to report to board members. And at that time, there really wasn't a way to do peer analysis between banks around cybersecurity. And so I think it was used for that as well. At the time, there also wasn't really a lot of good industry tools or frameworks around cybersecurity at the time. So this kind of filled that void. Now, the regulators, they did say that this isn't required. You don't have to use the FFIC CAT, but there's probably a little bit of winking there too, because in exams, in audits, they would be asked, what are you using to assess your cybersecurity? There really wasn't other tools out there. So, here's the CAT. And that's what we saw too. Virtually every financial institution in the U.S. Is using the FFIC CAT, or has been using the last few years, the FFIC CAT to assess their cybersecurity maturity. And I would say that it's helped. The financial industry, we hear all the time in the news about these breaches. There was another breach at this hospital, or there was a breach at this organization, or that organization, or this law firm, or that business. And you don't hear as many at banks. Maybe a wire transfer here, a small isolated thing, but these widespread big breaches you don't hear at our financial institutions. And I believe that's because our maturity around cybersecurity is much stronger in our industry.
Now that you're saying that, I guess I really haven't thought about that trend of the large breaches, because when I was in college, I do remember there were quite a few that kind of happened, and it would have been before 2015. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the CAT has achieved its goal?
Oh, yes. I think it's been a great tool. I think it's helped banks to, and it's, I think it's also helped, I think it's helped banks to increase their cybersecurity maturity. But I think it really also helped in the dialogue between IT and the board of directors, or between this bank talking to this bank over here, because it gave us a common framework or tool that we could measure against.
Yeah. And so with that information, why do you think FFIC is sunsetting the CAT?
Yeah, that's another good question, because I felt like it's been a really good tool. However, it's 9 years old, and it really hasn't been updated in 9 years. And 9 years is a long time.
Especially in regards to technology, I feel like 9 years is a very long time.
It definitely is. And I guess there was one update, but that update really just changed some of the references, and it added a new answer choice that you could say yes with compensating controls. So if you weren't doing the specific control, maybe it was a dated control. And we had high integrity people in our banking industry, right? So they felt like they couldn't say yes to that in the tool, but no was not the correct answer. They were accomplishing the goal, but not the way it was worded. And so they added this option, yes with compensating controls. But essentially, the meat or the technologies in the controls that were in the CAT have not been updated in 9 years. And it's really difficult for an organization like the FFIC to make those kind of changes. They're more of a regulating body. They're a governance body. But to try to run a cyber framework, especially across the five different agencies, I think they found difficult. As an example, they were creating a CAT for third parties, for companies like ours that we could use. And it never got published, because as it would rotate through the different agencies, they never could come to consensus. And it's difficult to get something published, because you don't want it to be too burdensome. You want it to be current. There's lots of opinions. There's different organizations involved. And so I think the FFIC came together and decided, the CAT served its purpose. At the time, there wasn't other options, but now there's other frameworks out there that are being updated regularly, that are current, and that our banks can go ahead and adopt. So it's time for us to let the CAT go ahead and pass on.
And so it seems like maybe now that these 9 years have passed and this has almost become industry standard, that now that there are so many other options out there, what would be the next steps for banks that are trying, that are starting to move away from the CAT?
Yeah, so actually in the FFIEC's statement where they said we're sunsetting the CAT, they gave four different optional tools. Now, it's not like you have to choose one of these four. They were just providing them as resources, saying there's other things available. Here's four specifically that you might consider of the many that are out there. And two of the ones that they mentioned are actually government resources. So the NIST cybersecurity framework, it's actually in version 2.0 now, and it's widely adopted throughout the U.S. And then the second government one that they mentioned is a relatively new one. It is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, that's CISA, which, by the way, we're going to be saying a lot of acronyms today. I guess that's what IT people do, is talk in acronyms. So the CISA, and that is a relatively new government organization that was originally created for the purpose of gathering and sharing information about cybersecurity. But recently, it's been given a little bit more authority because it looks like any incidents from any critical infrastructure are going to be required to be reported to the CISA in the coming months. So there was some proposed guidance that just came out about some new reporting standards where any critical infrastructure would have to report through the CISA. So this is a government agency that's beginning to grow. And grow in authority. And one of the other things that they've been tasked to do is create these what's called cybersecurity performance goals. And so they are controls that our critical infrastructure could follow. It's a framework, cybersecurity framework, in order to mature their cybersecurity. And they're planning to make these cybersecurity performance goals industry specific. So they would have a financial services specific one that's supposed to be published towards the end of the year. Well, this is a relatively new framework and one that I think is getting a lot of time and attention right now. So those are the two government ones. They also mentioned two industry developed resources. The first one that they mentioned is the Cyber Risk Institute, or CRI, another acronym. And they have what's called a cyber profile. Now, it's based off of the NIST cybersecurity framework, but it's been tailored to be specific to the financial institution industry. And it's been around for a little while. And then the fourth one that they mentioned is the Center for Internet Security, that's CIS. Now, sometimes CIS and CISA get confused, but CIS is a nonprofit industry organization, and CISA is a government organization. CISA has the cybersecurity performance goals, and CIS has something called the Internet Security Critical Security Controls. Usually we call them the CIS Critical Controls. A long time ago, they were known as the SANS Top 20. So some of us that have been in technology for years, if you hear SANS Top 20, they're now the CIS Critical Controls. So those are the four frameworks that are pretty mature that the FFIEC mentioned in their sunset statement that are options for banks to consider.
And so how are these four frameworks, how are they different than the CAT?
Yeah, they are really different. The CAT was an assessment tool, and these four things are really frameworks. So that's one of the first differences. And how that looks is like the CAT had two parts to it. It first had a inherent risk profile. So you would answer questions like, these are the kind of services we provide. This is how many customers we have. This is what our internet exposure is. You would answer a lot of these questions and it would say your cybersecurity risk is, you know, is here, is minimal, is high. And that would let you know what kind of control set maturity you needed to have. So then the second part was a list of common controls in the banking industry. And then it would give you a maturity on how mature you were in your cyber controls. Well, the riskier you were, the more mature you needed to be. So it was really designed as an assessment tool to assess your cybersecurity maturity. These others are really frameworks that you follow. So they're saying these are controls that, you know, in the various frameworks, they say them different ways, that we believe are fundamental controls or important controls that should be followed. Now, you can assess yourself against those frameworks, but it's a little bit different. So that's kind of the first difference, is that these are not really assessments, they're frameworks, but we can do assessments against them. The second one is the FFIEC CAT was very specific to banks. I mean, that's what it was designed for. And so all the controls are specific to ATMs, to wire transfers. They're very bank-specific controls. And the frameworks, with the exception of the CRI, there's too many acronyms. The CRI Cyber Profile, that's what it's called. With the exception of it, the other three are generic. So they're not going to be bank specific, at least not today. Now, again, the CISA, their CPGs, see, there's lots of acronyms. We may have to write them down as you're listening to the podcast. So the CISA is that newer government agency. Their CPGs, which are the cybersecurity performance goals. Right now, they've created a generic one and a couple of industry specific ones. But they say that by the end of the year, we should see a financial services specific CPG. And I'm hopeful that that one is really going to be one that we can lean into, and that it will be designed for us in the community banks.
Yeah, that would be great, because I'm thinking of from my bank, like I work with several community banks, and I'm thinking, how does a bank in this kind of in-between season, how do you go about making the correct choice to pick the correct framework that fits your bank and serves the purpose that it's required to serve?
Yeah, that's the real question, is which framework do I use now? We've all been using the FFIEC CAT for years, and what do I do now? And so I'm not going to say pick this one. That would be too easy, right? Then we wouldn't have a podcast. But instead, I want to talk about some of the criteria that you might consider when you're comparing these frameworks or even other assessment tools or frameworks that are out there. And some of what I'm going to share is actually coming from a blog post that Alyssa Pugh posted on tandem.app. And it's a pretty good blog post that you might want to check out. But the first is it industry aligned? So I'm going back to, you know, is it specific for our industry or is it generic? You know, I really think it's helpful, particularly for community banks, if a framework that you're trying to follow was designed for the banking industry. Because if it is, I don't have to try to figure out how it fits in, right? Somebody's already kind of done that for me, and I'm working with terminology that I'm familiar with. But as I mentioned before, right now, of the four frameworks, only the CRI Cyber Profile is bank-specific. However, we are hopeful that the CISA, when they do publish this financial services CPG, that it'll be pretty valuable for the banking industry as well. So first, I would want to see if it's industry aligned. Second, I would hope that it's widely adopted. So I think it's going to be helpful to community banks if they adopt a framework that is widely used and known by the industry. This is going to help when auditors come in, when examiners come in, when they're hiring consultants, if they're hiring new employees. You know, right now, if you hire an employee and they came from maybe a different state and moved there and they came to work for your bank, but they're in the banking industry, they know the CAT. And so it'll be nice if it's a widely known and adopted framework, or when talking to corresponding peer banks. You know, I think that's going to be helpful. So we did a survey, and we've done one for about 5 years. And this last year, it was around 250 banks that took it. And one of the questions we asked this year, and we've asked actually for the last few years, is which frameworks are you using? So based on this survey, well, as you would expect, more than 90% over the last 3 years say they're using the FFIEC CAT. That's what we're all using. The second most popular was the NIST CSF. So the NIST CSF comes in at, according to the survey, 70% of institutions say they're following it. So it's still pretty widely used. After that, it drops significantly for the other three. The CISA controls, the critical controls, come in at 24%, and the CISA CPGs came in at 9%. And in this survey, the CRI cyber profile came in at just around 1%. So this does indicate that right now, at least, the NIST CSF is the most widely known or used within the banking industry. However, we did find it very interesting that the CISA CPGs were at 9%, and that the CPGs have only been out for about a year. So for 9% of banks to adopt them after only around a year was pretty impressive to us. So I'm still keeping my eye out for the CPGs, and it, especially if the financial services CPGs comes out. I think the third thing to consider is it cost friendly? And I think there's two parts to cost, right? One is there an actual physical cost to the tool? And the other is the labor or time cost involved. So let's start with the actual cost of the tool. While all four frameworks mentioned by the FFIEC are actually free for banks to use, two of them, the two industry ones, the CRI profile and the CIS controls, have license fees for vendors to use. Okay, so what does that mean? That means if I, as a bank, choose the CISA profile or CRI profile or CIS controls, and I have an auditor come in and I want them to audit against it, they would have to pay a license fee to those organizations to be able to do that. Or if my managed service provider, my IT company, if I want them to help me manage this framework, then they would have to pay a fee. Or a lot of community banks are now hiring a virtual ISO. So if that virtual ISO was wanting to help us with that framework, they would have to pay a fee. Well, if they're having to pay that fee, they're probably going to pass it along. So there are some fees that are charged by those industry ones. The two government frameworks, though, are completely free to use by organizations themselves or by third parties. In fact, they're encouraging third parties to integrate them into their products and services. So third is it cost friendly? That's the physical cost. The other is the labor and time cost, right? So how long is it going to take me to adopt this new framework? That's what a lot of banks are concerned about right now. I'm familiar with the CAT. I know it. We've done it for years. The CAT was pretty involved, had a lot of questions, but because I knew it and had been doing it for years, it was pretty efficient to use. So how long is it going to take me to do this framework? You know, how many questions are in the framework? How complex is it? How involved is it? I think those are questions. Now, I don't want us as an industry just to pick the one that has the least controls, right? The least questions necessarily, because that may not be the right answer either. But we do want to pick a framework that we can use, that we can adopt, and that isn't going to be cumbersome or time labor to use. And then finally, I think the last is how easy and valuable are the reports that it generates from the framework, and do these frameworks actually help us improve our security? So, and I think the reports are going to help with that, right? If we can provide the senior management and the board with valuable data from these reports, then that helps us to make better decisions. But overall, there probably isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. Right now, I don't think there is an obvious front runner for the majority of institutions. I think time is going to tell. Each each framework that has been mentioned, those four, they each have pros and cons. So I think we just need to be diligent about continuing to have these conversations, continuing to work through the frameworks, and then pick the one that's best for our bank next year.
And so as banks are kind of digging through these questions and what framework would fit better for them, what timeline are you seeing for banks to be making the shift from the CAT to one of these other frameworks?
So that's a great question too. You know, do I have to switch now? Do I have to switch in 2024? What about 2025? And there may be differing opinions. What the FFIEC published was that they were going to remove the CAT from their website in August of 2025. So that indicates that, hey, we can still use it as a tool through 2025. Although the reason they're removing it is because it's 9 years old. So is it as valuable as it used to be? You know, no, it isn't. And really, we want to improve our security. What I'm hearing from, so what helps us decide how fast we have to move? Well, one of those things is probably going to be our auditors and examiners. You know, what are they saying to us? And so I've been talking to some different audit firms and some different examiners who kind of off the record have said that what they're expecting that they're going to do is starting probably at the beginning of the year to start looking to see that banks are trying to figure out which one they're going to move to. You know, they're going to start looking at minutes. They're going to start looking to see if as part of their strategic plan, they're saying, hey, we're going to start switching to this framework. So maybe you find that it's best to switch your framework in 2024 this year, or maybe you go ahead and use CAT and you start looking at these other frameworks and you're thinking, oh, sometime in 2025, I'll switch to a new framework. And I think that's going to be acceptable. And quite honestly, I think that's probably the right way to go because we still don't know enough about some of these frameworks. For example, the CISA is still saying they're going to publish this financial services CPG. If I were with a community bank, I would want to see that before I made a final decision. And we're not going to be able to see that until the end of the year is what we're expecting.
Yeah, so it does sound like, and which this is kind of the thought process that I've taken with several of my banks in regards to some other large changes, is we know that it's coming. We need to go ahead and start kind of having a game plan, but we also know that there's other pieces in place that haven't been sent out yet. And so it sounds like going ahead and starting those conversations and really educating yourself on what your options are. And that way the bank can make the best decision for what will fit for them.
Well,
Mr. Russ, at the end of all of our episodes, we always like to wrap up with one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners.
Great question. So I'll give a piece of advice around cybersecurity. So around cybersecurity, I guess my piece of advice would be let's focus on security over compliance. So what do I mean by that? And have to be careful saying it, especially with compliance people, right? I think you can be, especially in the IT world, you can be compliant and not be secure. You can check some boxes. But if you focus on trying to be secure, you're likely going to be compliant also. And so now it is important for us to be compliant, and there are reasons that we have the compliance requirements, and that's so that we can stay in line, right, and do the right things. But particularly in cybersecurity, because the world is changing so fast, I think what our focus needs to be is, first, am I secure? So even when we're looking at these frameworks, which framework, before I look at which one's going to make me compliant or which one the FFIEC recommended, first, which one of these could I use to make my bank more secure? And I think leaning into that, and we will be compliant.
That's great. Well, this has been so informative and great. Such a great discussion on what I think is a really hot topic for banks across the nation right now. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to be here.
Yes. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.